is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. Time for the weekly edition of the Green and Gold Gospel, Rowdies Talk Radio, and we have a lot to talk about tonight. So kick back, crack open a cold one. I guess they're all kind of cold tonight, especially depending on where in the country you are. And let's dig into what's going on. This is the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. My name is Matt, and having not declared for a run for president yet, is Dan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm mulling it over. I think I'm going to announce my exploratory committee in the next couple of weeks here, and we'll see the appetite the public has for my campaign and candidacy going forward.
The committee is Rose and the dog, right?
Yep. They are going to explore my chances of being president.
So you'd be already more organized than some of the candidates who have declared?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And I would definitely vote for you ahead of some independent coffee maker.
Good. Even though I have worked for that that man's company, screw him.
I am a team no coffee person. I think the last time I visited Starbucks was to get hot chocolates, and they told me they were out of the stuff that made the white hot chocolate white. And then later they were out of the stuff that made the caramel salted chocolate salty. Like, I don't know that they knew it was actually salt, because they literally said, we're out of the stuff that makes it salty.
Well, that's phrased poorly.
They weren't out. They had lots of stuff that was that were making me salty, however.
I mean, I used to. It's one of the more fun places I've worked, but that's not because of him. It was just the people I was working with.
I guess we should probably talk about the soccer stuff, huh? Since they, you know, we always complain about the news dumps coming like the day or 2 days after we do a show, or if we've already like delayed or rescheduled for some other reason, then that's when news comes out. Like, they actually did us the benefit today of dropping a ton of stuff. This is when I really hate having a day job sometimes, because I can't stay as on track with this as I'd like to.
It's been, I mean, I think the large chunk of the news here is obviously what we have listed here first. But the other part you could probably figure out on the fly, really.
And I just want to say a quick hello to Patrick in Louisville and Ben. Our friend Ben posting that they're tuned in listening. I did get a request from someone in New Jersey to the best way to access the show. So this is kind of creeping me out. Like, we actually know people are listening for once.
I don't believe them.
They're just saying that.
Right. It's like a rowdy, like I was talking with Adam Martin and DePinto. I don't think that's a thing people actually do. I think it's a myth.
I to be fair, I don't even listen after I post the file. I just kind of go with it.
Sometimes people will be like, "Damn, when you said this on the pod," and I have no idea what they're talking about because I don't remember anything that came out of my mouth. I think for about an hour a day, like an hour a week, I'm on like some weird drugs and I just black out doing the show.
All right, well, let's make our final preparations to start talking about this stuff because there actually is a ton of news. Here we go. Sounds like a frosty beverage. It's just a Coke. Don't get excited.
I'm drinking a J-Dubs up top.
Nice. I still have my Narragansetts in the fridge, but I'm saving those for something else. All right, so the big news that dropped today, I guess the first big news that dropped today, the announcement was made that the Rowdies and Norwich City FC launch historic partnership. And I'm not going to read through the entire article because I had some visitors come to my classroom last week and record some video of me in action, and it's now being used on this like district-wide closed circuit television channel. And there's nothing worse than hearing my voice. I honestly don't know how anybody listens to this for a couple hours a week.
Me neither.
So the main points I'm going to hit. Remember, Norwich came over here for a winter training session, a warm weather training break. They have a partnership deal already in place with Visit Tampa Bay, a sponsorship deal, and apparently they liked what they saw and liked where they worked out. And I know there was a pretty decent crowd there, so I think that kind of encouraged them. We've heard kind of in recent weeks that that some Norwich City staff was in the area, that talks were kind of ongoing about something, but didn't really know exactly what. But now the announcement comes out. The Canaries head of partnerships, Sam Jeffrey, said this is a significant partnership which sees the club strengthen the bonds with the Rowdies in the Tampa Bay region as a whole, as well as providing Norwich with an invaluable presence in the vibrant U.S. soccer market, where U.K. football is hugely popular with fans. So a couple of the things they pointed out in here, let me find it again, joint merchandising opportunities. I'm not 100% sure what that means.
It means we share the same team colors and it's easy.
I get like, are we going to start seeing like Norwich gear in Sundial or something?
Sure, I'll buy some. I mean, I need a new team since, no, I'm just kidding, I don't.
Joint merchandising opportunities. The deal will see promising players from City's successful academy benefit from competitive loan spell with the Rowdies. And you know, the kind of something that we posted out there yesterday, saw come across the internet, Norwich media, some of their fan media, some of their local media was posting that a left back by the name of Caleb Richards, 21 years old, seems like he might fit this kind of description. Is currently training in St. Pete's and expected to go on loan. This might be one of the, I assume it's one of the two guys we've heard Lee Cohen mention as getting on loan from a championship side. Now, do you think we're going to get two guys from Norwich, or is it one here and one somewhere else?
I would think probably two from Norwich, but I'm usually wrong, so it would not surprise me if we double dipped in the English Championship. Neil, I assume, especially Neil, has some contacts across the league there. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the more the merrier at this point. I think today we finally filled out our back line, if that Richards loan is true.
Yeah. They did mention later on in the article you're talking about Neil, that Neil, I guess Neil and their academy manager know each other very well, probably going back to Neil's playing days in England. So it was such a no-brainer to formalize our partnership.
You're missing the key part of this press release that you skipped over, that I don't know who wrote this, but under the quotes for this gentleman from Norwich, they spelled colors with a U.
Very fancy.
They kept it English, and just for the I find that highly amusing.
I mean, when we quote people in articles, when the Rowdy staff quote people in articles, they keep it legitimate. He obviously pronounced it with a U in there somewhere, so we just kept it.
keen ear, very keen ear to pick up that U in color.
Yeah. You think it's silent, but when we get you get the professionals managing communications like we've got, that's going to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it just shows we should be top flight with our communications guys being able to pick up those U's in color and probably favor it if I comb through this even deeper.
All right, so I'm I just found the spot you're talking about. I see it now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this. Like it there's a ton of potential, I think, with this. I know a lot of people maybe the gut reaction is, you know, let's wait and see what happens before, you know, hopefully it doesn't turn into another Sao Paulo deal where there was a press conference and that was it. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I still want to know more of the details. Because a lot of what they describe in here, I mean, there's, you know, some kind of joint things, but it's kind of more about what Norwich is going to get out of it. Like, yeah, we're going to get some players on loan, but it's so Norwich players get competitive, you know, experience and minutes. And getting a, you know, like a foothold in the Tampa Bay market and in the U.S. What are some other things that you might be looking for out of this deal? Like something, maybe something coming back that's going to benefit the Rowdies besides just what they've mentioned today?
I don't know if they, it seems more beneficial to Norwich in the fact that they can send some of those not quite youth players, but not quite first team players here to get some experience. I think merchandising and raising the profile of a second division club. And let's not forget that I believe Norwich is what, second place in the championship right now. Let's see. Let's just Google that to make sure. But that's, I mean, next season we might be affiliated with the Premier League club, and that will raise that helps raise our. Whoa, that wasn't supposed to happen. Sorry, guys. it might raise our. They're in second, 3 points behind Leeds.
So they're in the automatic promotion spot.
Yeah, so they might be a like I said, a Premier League club next year, and that raises our profile. To address the concerns of like the Sao Paulo deal, this is a deeper deal as well because Norwich City Norwich has the deal with Visit Tampa St. Pete or Clearwater St. Pete. What is it called?
Visit Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Visit Tampa Bay. So like it's a deeper deal than Sao Paulo ever was, and I think it goes beyond. It goes beyond Neil Collins, where it felt like. It was a Rangan Farouk deal for Sao Paulo. This feels like a club city deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
And obviously, if the Richards loan is accurate, which I assume it is going by the article yesterday, it's already paying dividends. I think the only thing that came out of the Sao Paulo deal was PD Pelican. He was like the mascot.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was the cartoon on the poster, and then he became the mascot. So I think it's already paying more. I'm very curious to see what these merchandising app opportunities are and whatnot. But I'm assuming since we have similar colors and things like that, it'll be pretty easy. It does say it's confirmed a long-term deal. So I don't know what that means, like how long.
Right.
And, I mean, just think, like, you know, lead further visits to the Tampa Bay area for the Canaries, you know, that could be friendlies that'll bring people to Allen, like we talked about previous on, you know, how can we open up and get more fans here? Or if it's in our off season again, you get open training to get people to Allen to see what it's all about. So, I mean, it's only, I think for us, it's a profile raiser, and for them, it's a way to help gain a foothold in the U.S. in the boom in like the blossoming U.S. soccer market, and also a way to get their players playing time, their younger players playing time.
Kind of one of the things that I thought about, and you know, I kind of wished it was could have happened when they were here training originally, but you know, they're. Is it like a? I guess they've got like a winter break, kind of like some of the German leagues do. And I know they're trying to incorporate a little bit into the Premier League, but they came over for like a warm weather training session. Like it probably would help them out, and maybe some stuff went on behind closed doors, but you know, actually getting some competition against another team rather than kind of doing the simple training stuff. I didn't hear, you know, I know they were down in Bradenton for a while too. I didn't hear anything about, you know, facing off against any particular teams. Probably, you know, might have happened. So some kind of friendly, or even if, you know, like we've had this Florida Cup thing for the last couple of years, which, you know, has turned into a one-off game at Al Lang, doesn't involve the Rowdies at all. If you had something, if you had a similar kind of competition, maybe with other USL teams or, you know, another English team, or maybe another out-of-state team, or another, you know, out-of-country team, it's a nice little preseason addition for the Rowdies. And, you know, it probably wasn't really possible this year because of the roster rebuilding going into the season. But they, you know, they said they've tried, they're looking for to try and get more towards like a consistent roster in the future, having guys under contract, having guys in town, maybe doing something like that. Cause then you can bring your merchandising stuff back in. Like you can have a 50-50 scarf that uses the same colors. This will be perfect.
Let's not do 50-50 scarves, please.
But what if you did where it's one side, it was like Rowdy's, one side was Norwich. So it's not like 50-50 the way you usually see them, but you can kind of flip them around depending on which team you're there to support.
Okay, that might be a little better. That might be...
I could go with that.
And I mean, yeah, sure.
And from a distance, it wouldn't even look like a 50-50 scarf because it's just the same colors.
You know what? I take it back. Do whatever makes you happy. Being a fan is all about finding joy in this cruel, dark world. So please, just do whatever that makes you happy. I mean, nobody should set limits on being a fan. Screw it. Do whatever you want.
This just took a turn.
Can you guess where my mental state is?
Yeah. I will say the one thing, and kind of going back to mentioning the Sao Paulo thing, one of the things they had mentioned in that when that was announced was not just player exchanges, but coach exchanges as well, coaching exchanges. I think that would be kind of a cool thing for some of the Rowdies coaches, or even once you get into maybe some of the Tampa Bay United coaches, because I'm sure there'll be some you know, adjacent benefits for them as well to kind of do an exchange with Norwich City and maybe Norwich's academy and get some experience there as well too. I wonder if this leads to another overseas preseason trip like we've had in the past.
That depends if the Rays are going to shell out that money. But I mean, a coaching exchange would be great. I think it would be good for our assistant coaches, even Neil, to, you know, go back and work with a championship or Premier League team. And I mean, not that he, with his player experience, wouldn't have a good idea how that works, but get it from a different perspective. Get the you know, get Pato back over there overseas to take a look. I don't, Shane, if he's still on the staff, you know what I mean, like just go and exchange ideas, right? Broaden the tactics and the knowledge you have, and that's never a bad thing. I would support that. And if it continues, like you said, if it trickles down to TBU, even better. Get the youth learning from a championship team like Norwich.
The other thing that I kind of noticed, and it jumped out at me maybe the second or third time that I took a look through this, like there's really no mention, no quotes or comments or anything from the Rays side of it. Like this is, it seems like a deal completely done, and I'm sure they, you know, signed off, got approval or whatever, but this seems to be a deal that was kind of done between Lee Cohen and Norwich City. So getting an idea of, you know, who's running things, really. I, you know, we've heard about, you know, that the Rays chairman are kind of, you know, letting the soccer guys run the soccer team. Like this is the kind of move that happens. So I was kind of encouraging to read as well.
Yeah, I don't think for a second that we'd need to hear from any of the, like, either the Silverman or any of the Rays guys. I think it's been pretty well established that they were going to be very hands off, and like you said, let the soccer guys run the soccer guys. I don't think you need any quotes from Silverman there. I think having Lee out in front is exactly what we need, and encouraging. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Anything else to say about the partnership?
I feel I feel that this having a true partnership with a team like Norwich and the caliber of players coming in, be it if Caleb Richards does come, but the building and the energy seems a little bit more revitalized than last year. I think we talked before the season began how last year, it felt like there's a little bit of apathy within the fan base and it was just starting to creep in. And for better or worse, the Rays took over and unfortunately we had a coaching change early in the season, but it feels a different energy this year. Cautiously optimistic, but hopeful and very just like eager to get the season on, eager to see what this new era brings. And I'm excited all around for everything. Like there's just, it seems like everybody is like the edge of your seat kind of energy, anxiously awaiting to see what this partnership brings, what this roster shapes up to be, how we're going to look on the field, what's going on overall with this club. And it's so far all signs point to encouraging, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, the last line of the press release says details of upcoming projects will be announced imminently. And as much as I think project is sometimes an overused word in soccer, I got the feeling that they've got a lot of things planned with this. And from what we've heard, like some of the Norwich staffers have been in town for a significant amount of time. So I think there's been a lot of planning, a lot of thought put into this, what they want to do, how they're going to do this. So I'm excited to see the announcements. I'm excited to see what's coming. We've been kind of waiting for some news to happen. And a lot of it came down today, which is nice. So last thing we'll say on this is screw you, North Carolina. Pound sand, Knotts County, the Norwich City is the one and true only NCFC.
I agree, and they have the best colors in England.
Right? Like, we got to go with it. Okay, the other news dropped a couple hours later. When you saw this, did you think it was going to be the announcement of the two loan signings?
I thought so, kind of, due to the fact that like it would go hand in hand with the partnership announcement.
I mean, that would definitely be imminently, but it wasn't. So that's more additions as well. The news came out at about 3 o'clock today, going by the timestamp on the article, that the Rowdies have re-signed Tarek Morad and Leon Taylor to new contracts for the 2019 USL season. Morad joined in late in the season, made his debut on August 8th against Charleston Battery and played every minute of every match for the rest of the season, totaling 1,170 minutes and 13 starts. Patrick from Louisville said, wonders if we know how special of a player we've got. And I say probably we don't have a full understanding yet. I think we got a taste last year. But he was definitely a guy that at the end of the season, I think everybody wanted to try and see, try and get him back for this year. I thought he played very well even though the playoff push failed, I thought he was a key contributor to trying to make it happen. And the way Neil made it sound, he didn't think that we were going to have a chance to bring him back because he still has these ambitions to go play overseas. But we're delighted to have him. So, hopefully it's going to be like a season long thing, but maybe he plays so well and someone wants to sign him overseas and it's, they've kind of, done the deal that way, but whatever works, I'm very glad to have him back, to have, him back there in the back line again.
Me too. I was really, he was one of the players I was really hoping would come back. I think he is an impact player back there. He was a question mark, like you said. And when I saw him on the announcement, I was very happy. And that's not to take away from Leon Taylor. I think we all expected Leon to come back since he was in some of the off-season player appearances and the and a video or two. I'm excited to have Leon back. He's he scored quite a few goals during his time on the pitch. I grew up watching an LT play football, and now I'm watching another LT play football. Hopefully he is as legendary as the other LT I watched.
Just as long as you didn't break anybody's legs, right?
Yeah, don't break anybody's legs and stay away from the cocaine.
Always good advice.
That's what I'm going to tell my kids if I ever have them. Don't break any legs and stay away from cocaine.
You know, like that's just kind of good life. Like when you leave one of your appointments, you should just tell them that, like on the way out, hey, have a good day. Don't break any legs. Stay away from the coke.
I think I'm going to start I'm going to become a news anchor. And, you know, like Edward R. Murrow had good night and good luck. And that'll be my sign off. Don't break legs. Stay away from coke. Good night.
Maybe I'll try that one out in my classroom tomorrow. See what happens.
I think that's going to be my new sign off on this podcast, actually, when we say goodbye. I don't even need to become a news anchor. I'll just do it every Wednesday night.
There you go. I like that. Neil says about Leon Taylor, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like this one's not so much of a surprise because we saw him in some of the videos, some of the pictures from early preseason training. We're delighted to have Leon back in the squad. He made a lot of fans last year for the same reasons we wanted him back in the squad. He works hard. He fights for every opportunity, and he makes the most of his chances. He's a young, hungry player that will continue to grow this season. And they finish off this with another line that I'm maybe reading more into than is necessary, but I'm going to anyway. With Murad and Taylor, there are now 7 returning players from the Rowdies 2018 roster, but it doesn't say that they're done re-signing guys from last year. We know Kyle Coringa won't be back. He was announced today as signing with Hartford Athletic, but there's still a couple names out there. You know, when we interviewed, when Jake interviewed Neil back in October, he mentioned Diakite by name. I don't know if that's a name they're still looking to bring back or if he's what his status is, but this seems to leave the door open on some possible other re-signings from last year.
Yeah, announced Taku. Where the heck is Taku?
maybe they're saving for Tuesday.
I hope so, but where is Georgie last year? I need to know where Taku is. That's my new thing since I'm.
Yeah, we did where's Georgie, and now look, he's retired. Like let's not jinx Taku here.
Well, he played another year and then retired. So let's go Taku. It's recent. Like get Taku, because Neil was very Neil. I mean, if you remember at the end of the season, he talked up Taku a lot.
Yeah.
So why hasn't he been announced? This is my new crusade, and I will get answers.
All right. So moving on, something that came, we just started talking about this on Twitter the other day, and Jake was like, could you guys just shut up and do this on the podcast? And Jake, as always, is right. The guys over at Magic City Soccer, they were the Miami, I guess they still are Miami FC podcast, but they kind of do cover all soccer in
what Magic City Dade. Magic right. City isn't that the that's Birmingham, isn't it?
Well, technically it's a strip club in Atlanta. Let me double check.
Magic City Brigade is Magic City Brigade is the
it's Magic City Soccer is the show.
Well, this is confusing.
I know you've got Magic City Soccer podcast in Miami. You've got Magic City Strip Club in Atlanta, and you've got Birmingham just trying to remain relevant somehow by calling themselves Magic City. Also,
so Birmingham is stealing Miami. Useless. This is why the war needs to continue.
So this is why we Birmingham hate.
Yes, exactly.
But they had mentioned the possibility, I guess the Inter Miami, the new MLS club in Miami, filed some paperwork, some plans for like building out their team, like academy stuff. And they had mentioned in there redeveloping or renovating Lockhart Stadium, which is in dire need of it. Whether it's just going to remain a stadium or not, that property needs some attention. And also running a USL Division II like affiliate. So it sounds like they're planning on starting a B team that would be in Division II, not in would be in USL Championship, not in like League One or League Two. So I was saying, you know, and I'm not saying this is what I think they should do, and everyone should be on board with it. But if they're going to do that, if they're going to redevelop in Lockhart Stadium and make it into a usable facility again, and if they're going to run a USL level club out of there, because let's be honest, I mean, we've been the Lockhart, and it has its quirks, and it needs a lot of love. But in the right situation, that's like an ideal USL championship venue. And you know, full disclosure, I really want a nice road trip in Florida again to a league opponent. But I, you know, they need to do a deal with Bill to get the Strikers property if that's what they're going to do. Are the Strikers fans like thrilled about that? No, should they be? Not necessarily. I mean, it's up to everybody. I just think if they're going to do that, and I'm not saying it's a smart business decision. There's already a ton of, you know, you've got Miami FC now playing in NPSL. You've got a couple other teams in other like low league soccer divisions out there. I don't know, putting another team in the area is a smart business move to begin with. I think maybe it's kind of they're trying to maybe force some of those teams out or something, possibly, maybe especially Miami FC. That seems to be the most like well-backed, well-supported one in the area. But if you're going to put a team at Lockhart, like I would want it to be the Strikers, even if it's going to be a B team. The Flight 19 guys didn't seem to be too thrilled about it for a couple reasons. Like some of those guys started the Himarshi Football Club after the Strikers went away. So they've kind of built their own thing. And now this might come back, and then coming back as a B team. So Jake, you know, kind of said to me, and it's a valid question, would I be saying the same thing if it was the Rowdies? So if the shoes were reversed, would you be, how would you feel in that situation?
I think in the exact, like a mirror image of the Striker situation, I wouldn't support that iteration of the Rowdies. I think if an MLS team, if there was somebody lingering in the background of like St. Pete, Tampa Bay Soccer, waiting and talking for years about putting an MLS team here, and as the Rowdies were crumbling due to poor ownership in this thing and didn't step in, you know, to like do anything, and then let the team crumble, and then decided, hey, you know, we're going to take over that facility, and we're just going to take back, we'll buy the trademark, and we'll make it our B team. It's not my club anymore. That's not my club. That's not the team I fell in love with. That's not the team. That team is dead and buried, and it'd be like, the best way I can put it, it would be like, for Strikers fans, it's David Beckham killed their dog and then ran to the SPCA to find a dog that looked just like it, to try to fool you into thinking it was the same dog.
Is this another John Wick movie?
Maybe. I've never seen a John Wick movie.
Oh, you definitely at least have to watch the first one. I haven't seen the other ones past that, but I will accept that you have not watched Fast and Furious, but John Wick you'd probably enjoy.
Yes, I actually do want to watch those. I just am terrible at watching movies. But I don't think I could do it. I don't think I would support the MLS club in the area, and I definitely wouldn't support the two team that my team has become. If now on the flip side of that, if the Rowdies were floundering and that said person bought them and made them a feeder team, like an MLS 2 team, I would probably still support them. The difference there being you didn't like watch them die, spit on their grave, and then try to just make money. You know what I mean? That
right.
Subtle difference there is key to me. So I just I fully understand where the Strikers fans are, and I support them being. I mean, they did that thread with the Simpsons gifts,
which I thought was hilarious.
Right, and I mean, I totally understand because that's virtually I can feel what they're talking about there, and I think that's why like. If it was a mere case of what happened with the Strikers, no, I would not support the Rowdies there. But if they became a two team for anybody but Orlando, I could probably stomach it as long as we didn't fold and they tried to revive them.
Yeah, like I'm not going to sit here and say that the Flight 19 and the Fort Lauderdale fans need to get on board and support this. Like, that's up to them, and that's a decision that they have to make, and it's not really on me to do that. In the exact same situation, no, I don't think. I mean, I can see where I would probably go to the games. I don't know that I'd have like season tickets, or definitely wouldn't be doing something like this on a weekly basis. But you know, I'd probably go just to see the name still playing at that point. But it would be a different connection on a personal level, I would say. So we'll wait and see more what happens. I mean, the perfect situation would be you know, a private individual or a company or something buy the trademarks and bill, get the rights to the stadium, and do it that way and run it as an independent club. But it hasn't happened yet. I don't know that there's been any significant offers. I think if anyone's going to pony up the amount of money that Bill's probably willing to accept, it's likely to be Beckham and his crew at this point. I just hope at some point we've got another in-state road trip we can do to an opponent. And if it was the Strikers like that, just, it'd be more fun again. I don't know. I'd like to see it happen. We'll see what happens, though.
I think my question – I had a question. Sugar, honey, iced tea. I was going to say it begs a discussion about what it – like, how do you define a team's history? Because I think for me it's kind of an insult to Stryker's history to do what Beckham would do by bringing them back as a USL – as like in that situation as a two team.
Right.
And it's less insulting in my second scenario. So it's just what defines tradition and history in that point? Because you bought some intellectual property that was, you know, sold off when your team crumbled and you put them back in a stadium, it doesn't feel the same or connected in any way. You know what I mean? I'm trying to conceptualize this and like contextualize it in a way that makes, I'm working through my thoughts here, basically, instead of tweeting, instead of tweeting through them like normal, we're working right through them on the mic. And, it's just what is the, like, how do you define your team then, right? And I think the Flight 19 and the hardcore supporters will say those aren't my Strikers.
Yeah.
And I think I feel like they're right, but there's got to be an argument the other way. And I think you're kind of there by saying, like, it's your, you know, it's at Lockhart. I mean, everything's there. You're just a slight grudge against Beckham, and you should be glad they're back. And we, as Rowdies fans too, like, we're internalizing that debate as well. Would I even go to Fort Lauderdale? Because is the rivalry going to be the same? Because to me, no. It's like a shell of what used to be. Like, I don't know, some like a bad Michael Keaton clone in Multiplicity or whatever the name of that movie was.
Yeah.
So it's...
Look at you with the old movie reference. Yeah. I never would have picked you as having seen Multiplicity.
I did as a child.
Well done.
So it's just one of those things, like, it's a weird existential questions I never thought I'd be dealing with in soccer. Like, I kind of got into doing this so I wouldn't, you know, be locked in my head with existential questions, and here I am about
this was supposed to be the diversion.
Yes, and here we are.
I would absolutely go on the road trip. I don't know that I would view the rivalry the same. Part of me would say, you know, I'd still be worried about losing to a B team. And just the idea of that, you know, kind of between Fort Lauderdale and Tampa Bay, like that, you know, that rivalry's taken on so many forms, whether it was the old Rowdies and Strikers, then the Strikers moved at one point. I mean, it started out, the rivalry started out as the Miami Toros and the Rowdies before they moved to Fort Lauderdale. Then they went, I think they left for Minneapolis, and it's not the same. And then, you know, when NASL came back, it was FC Tampa Bay, and then they were called Miami FC, and it was weird, but it's always just kind of been those two areas. So it would be different. I'd absolutely go. I mean, part of the reason I go on road trips is the experience with the people that I'm with. And, I had a great time just doing like a seven, like, stop brewery tour on the way down from my parents' house on the other coast down to Fort Lauderdale. So that all factors into it as well. I don't know. Maybe if it does happen, the the Fort Lauderdale fans can look at it like the major league situation where they all had the owner they hated, and they just come out there and go get after it anyway and try and show them up somehow. Yeah, it would be different, but I'd like to see it happen. I mean, and you talk about how do you define the history? It's different with every club. I mean, for us, it was the ownership group going to the last Rowdy's owner and getting permission to use the name and continue the history, and that to me made it a legitimate thing. In my eyes, for Fort Lauderdale, it's having Lockhart Stadium back. There's a ton of, it's not just Fort Lauderdale soccer, like Stryker history, but like that's the first stadium where the U.S. beat Mexico in international play. So I mean, there's a ton of kind of local and national history wrapped up in that facility, and to see it just kind of sitting there the way it is, really, there's so many like actual tragedies in the world. You hate to say it, but in terms of soccer, it's tragic that it's in the state that it's in. So I don't know. I don't know what makes it. I know there have been some. They had some staff guys there before that were involved with the original Strikers, or they've been like kind of long involved in the South Florida soccer scene. If you got some of those guys back on board, you bring in like Ray Hudson as a figurehead or something. You know, he lives in the area, does the broadcast over there. He's kind of as a connection with them, like that would be maybe that's some way you do it too. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out at least.
Yeah. And I hope if they do try to revitalize Lockhart, they go all the way and not just, try to make it just a temporary training ground or something. You know what I mean? Like, go out, yeah. Make it a, not a state of the art, but like make it comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that night we were there, like it, as kind of torn up as it was, like you could still feel the potential it had as a facility, I think.
Yeah, with some investment, it definitely needs it. And I mean, do it, please. Like I'm all for them revitalizing Lockhart. I'm a little less sure about what they're bringing back the Strikers name. I mean, you can easily say like we revitalized Lockhart and here's a new era at Lockhart with a new team. And I think you've already lost the Strikers fans anyway, like the diehards, right. Like, so you just, go with it that way. But I don't know. I think it's more insulting to try to, bring it back the Strikers.
All right. I gotta break off from this for a second. You just retweeted that Zach Braff tweet.
Yeah.
Have you seen that documentary?
I haven't seen the Netflix one with that one in it, but they played it on the radio today. I have only seen the Hulu one.
Okay. Do you know what scene that shot is from?
Yes, 100%.
Yes. So they were talking about that, and oh my God. That. I guess Allie just watched that last night, or was watching it.
Yeah.
Ashley and I were tweeting at her like, oh, wait till this scene, wait till this one. And you got to watch it. I haven't seen the Hulu one, but the Netflix one, like we started watching it the other night and we're just kind of like, all right, we'll watch a few minutes and come back to it. And it was like, nope, we're staying up for this. This is it's incredible. It's unbelievable. All right. So back to this. Anything else for our hypotheticals?
No, I think that's it.
All right. So I mentioned last week that in USL finally announced that there is going to be a League Two club playing down here in Sarasota, like literally 10 minutes from my house. I'm supposed to be talking with the owner of the club on Saturday. So I may try and see if he wants to record a little audio, something I can use on here. But one of the things we were trying to find out is there had been talks that there were like two different groups trying to get a team going down here. And there had been one that we'd kind of been interacting with, and I, sent them some messages and said, you guys want to come on and talk about what you're trying to do, feel free, let me know. And never heard back from them. And I was trying to find out if this was that group. And it definitely isn't. This is a separate group altogether. What I found out the other day is the other group So now we've got the USL League Two side. This other group is trying to start an NPSL team in Sarasota, and they were going to play. They had wanted to play out at Premier, where we were for that the U.S. Youth Games, but NPSL wouldn't let them, wouldn't approve that place because there's no shower or locker facilities. Like, I don't know if you saw when we were there, like they had those big tents set up behind the stand. Like that's where they were like changing into uniforms. And then they take the bus back to their hotel or wherever. And that's where they're doing the showering. So they're looking for, an alternate facility or trying to maybe get something like that built and launch in 2020. So, you know, Chattanooga's like the new big front in soccer wars, and New York was the epicenter for a while, but Sarasota's staking a claim to its piece of the wild and wacky world of U.S. lower division soccer. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be intriguing. I think the NPSL versus USL lower league battle could be fun to watch, especially in the under a microscope like that, right in your backyard.
You saw what's happening in Tennessee with the team that we own or co-own.
Yeah,
partially.
So I mean, I feel very weird about it because obviously USL is where we play, but we now technically are part owners of a team not in USL.
Did you see how they're trying to? I'll put this politely: how they're trying to C-block the League Two team.
You mean Chattanooga block, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, I thought so.
Ooh, good catch there. So the USL Chattanooga club, their first game is, I forget the exact day, but they're playing Forward Madison in Chattanooga. Chattanooga FC just scheduled a friendly against Detroit City, same time, same day.
I wonder who's going to win that battle.
Right? That's a smart move. That's a very smart move.
I'm glad that should happen. I'm glad we have intelligent people booking that stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad our employees are on the ball there and taking care of everything. And no, DePinto, you're wrong. Sarasota Metropolis FC forever. I don't know who Lakeland. I never heard of Lakeland Tropics before. I don't know who they are. Get them off of there. Oh, that's a different comment about something else. Okay, you saw the Seattle 2 news?
Yeah, I actually really do appreciate that rebrand. I like
that it's the boats running over Phil McCracken or whatever the Jacksonville mascot was called.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Did you see though? It's not just the Seattle 2 team that's moving to Tacoma. It's the Seattle NWSL team also.
Yeah, they're no longer Seattle Rain. They're just the Rain.
Yeah,
which is a little weird, but whatever.
That's kind of an interesting move because I thought they had been pretty successful in Seattle overall, but like there's new owners and like not new owner, but new investors in the ownership team. So, they said they're working towards building a specific facility in Tacoma. I guess I'm assuming that the two of them would share that. It'll be interesting.
I mean,
I feel like we say this a lot. It'll be interesting.
It will be. I think the biggest point made was by Megan Rapinoe when she said it'll be on grass. So that'll add a few more years to her career.
Then I'm in favor of that.
Me too.
Anything that results in more Rapinoe is good with me. All right. The last thing we were going to talk about, it's the time of the year again, where a Canadian communications company does something, very smart. And, of course, no American company has kind of tagged on and done it yet. But the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. And I wanted to just make sure we threw it out there because, we've been kind of open talking about the things we've dealt with, and do deal with, in our lives. Mental health, and there was a ton of Rowdy's news today, and didn't really get to mention things as much as I had originally planned to. But if you're listening to this, if you've seen the tweet, if you read the show notes, take a minute and just tweet hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Every tweet that goes out, the Bell Company in Canada, which I guess is a Are they like TV, internet? Are they just cell phone?
I have no idea.
But they donate. It's like 5 cents per tweet towards mental health operations or treatment facilities, whatever, in Canada. So, you know, they're raising awareness, which is the kind of the catchphrase everything everybody wants to do. But they're actually raising money as well. So, just go do that. That'd be pretty cool. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, mental health is an issue that's near and dear to my heart because as anybody who knows me and follows me on Twitter knows, I probably need to be worried about my own mental health. But it's great that there's days like this and companies that are doing socially responsible things like that. And tweet Bell, #Bell, let's talk. And if you guys, if anybody out there needs just to talk, needs, you know, just a lifeline every now and again, don't ever hesitate to DM me, tweet me, or you know, I'm here to talk. Mental health is no joke. Take care of yourself. Self-care is very important.
Yeah, I promise that I don't have any answers, but I do have a pair of ears, so, you know.
Exactly. Like, even if you just need to just vent, you can even, like, just DM someone, one of us, and just be like, hey, I got to vent this. You don't even have to respond. I just need to put it somewhere, and it'll stay in the DMs, and that's it.
I'm surprised someone hasn't done, like, a bot on Twitter that you could just, like, you know, like, they have those, I forget what the website's called, but you just kind of, like, write down these, like, embarrassing or things you don't want to admit, you know, with your name on it, but, like, take pictures, and they show, like, you know, the index card with, you know, I did this terrible thing or whatever. Surprised there's not like a bot you can just like DM and it like DMs you back and it's like, hey, it'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't know if I would trust dumping my heart to a DM like a Twitter bot, but I mean, I get it. There should just be, I mean, your
just
friends,
don't tell her what you like to buy and you might be okay.
We don't need to talk about that.
They know already.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about tonight?
No, I think that's it.
All right, one more thing I got to ask you, and I probably could just wait and do this off air, but the laser tag gun.
Yes.
How do you reload?
There's a little button on the bottom, like on the grip. If you hit that.
Oh, that's what the orange thing is down there.
Yeah. Yep. You hit that, and that reloads it.
I could have read the instructions or, you know, Googled or something. I've been playing the one player game, and I get like, you know, blown up six ships into it, and now it's done because I don't know how to reload it. Okay. If you don't know what we're talking about, you said you got a pair of them?
Mm-hmm. It was like 30
or 40
bucks.
We're doing a tailgate for a while now.
I mean, I will play laser tag all day, every day.
Yeah, we've got three of the new Nerf laser guns. I found mine on clearance at Target for $10.
Yeah, the entire, like, the set was at Walmart for, like, two guns and two armbands for, I think, $30.
There you go. So if you, maybe we'll play at tailgate sometime, but we'll have an extra one, or if you want to get your own and come play with us. I don't know. It seems, now that I'm thinking about it, it sounds like there's actual physical activity involved. I don't know about this.
Yeah, you'll have to start running at tailgates to hide or something.
You're going to be running from tent to tent because one tent's going to have poutine and one's going to be showing Fast and Furious.
Oh, I'll just go run into traffic.
I did find, I was told that noted Rowdies and North City fan Stephen Connell from the Skyway Casual is big Fast and Furious fan. He might have to invite him along to the watch party once we get the donations up there.
I don't think I should ever have to watch the Fast and the Furious, but make it happen, guys. Make it happen. Make me sit through the worst movie franchise ever created.
It's one of my very favorites.
It is,
like, it's
trash.
It's big, dumb fun. It's me in a movie, only with less hair and more muscles.
It just, you know, I went to Universal pretty recently, and
okay, the ride is trash. I'll give you that.
It's the only ride I have not been on. It. Well, no, that's a lie. I haven't done King Kong yet, but that's just because it was new.
Definitely do King Kong.
I plan on King Kong and
Fast and Furious are like, they're similar in their setups, how they work, but King Kong is so much better. Like, it's a much better execution.
You're finally speaking truth. Skull Island is, and the King Kong movie franchises and movies are way better than the Fast and the Furious would ever hope to be.
I didn't say that. I just said the ride's better.
Because the movie franchises are better.
Oh, here we go. Ian from Skyway Casuals. If you get shot with laser tag, you have to do an alcohol shot. New tailgate drinking game.
I mean, now you're just encouraging me to stand in the middle of the parking lot and everybody shoot
but
me.
But see, here's the problem. We have to be able, we have to be coherent enough to go talk to the players and coaches after the game. So we could do it like Sporkle, where we're playing laser tag on behalf of somebody.
True.
And if we get shot, they have to do a shot.
The problem is, Casey's only here till like May, so I will have to drive home eventually and can't have her bail me out if I'm doing shots for every time I get shot in laser tag.
I'm saying someone else has to do shots for us. Like, we get hit, someone else has to do the shot.
Ah, that's fine. I mean, depending who I am playing for, I might just get
shot.
I'm
playing
anyway.
For Ryan Sudol, whether he likes it or not.
He's usually, you know, no, I was going to say he's usually like three sheets to the wind anyway, but he's a professional, and he doesn't drink before games.
Just during.
Yeah, just
wait,
during.
We're not supposed to mention that, are we?
I don't think so. Screw it.
All right, I've got a duels. We could reenact Hamilton and Burr.
I'll just aim for this guy.
I've already got a volunteer to be my second.
Yeah, who?
DePinto. Oh,
I see that now. My Twitter just reloaded.
Is it? We're gonna have tailgate laser duel.
We can figure it out.
Let's be like, you know, first to three hits or something.
I think you can probably do 10 because that's when it will shut down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but if you're doing duels, you're like standing there. Like, yeah, 3 or 4 is probably enough.
True. It'll keep track on your on the smartphone.
All right, we'll plan this out. We'll have some laser tag fun. Get Big Storm involved somehow as well, because, you know, beer. All right, that's it for us tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys. I'm going to give a big we love you to the Rowdies in Norwich City for giving us lots of stuff to talk about tonight. We greatly appreciate that. Feel free to keep Wednesdays as your news dump day. We like that. Daniel, we love you.
First, I'm going to say, I think the new slogan should be Hump Day, Dump Day.
That reminds me, I was listening to a different podcast on the way home today. There was an article on ESPN.com maybe a week ago, like just kind of behind the scenes with the Cleveland Browns ownership and all the weird stuff that's gone on there over the years. And I'm not going to recap the whole article because it's the wrong kind of football, and we're trying to finish up the show. But one of the things the marketing staff was trying to do for like the ownership and the front office people was show them the perception of the team online. And, you know, they've got that big fan section called the Dog Pound.
Yeah.
So they set up a projector, like projecting a Twitter timeline onto the wall of the hashtag that's frequently associated with tweets from members of the Dog Pound, which was hashtag DP.
All right, moving on.
And they said it took, and so you can just guess what happened. They said it took 20 minutes before they could get an IT guy to fix it. Like, you need an IT guy to turn off the projector to close Twitter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I'd be out of a job. All right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back next week, hopefully with probably not as much news because today was a very busy day, but hopefully some new news to share with you guys as well. I almost forgot like the entire sign-off. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing basis and get Dan to watch Fast and Furious, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod and give at a level that you feel comfortable with. Don't forget to give us a rating and review wherever you hear this. If it's TuneIn or Stitcher or Google Play or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever. There's probably like 7 other places because we seem to be on everywhere now. That would be greatly appreciated as well. Thank you to Wolfface for the theme music, to Radio St. Pete for giving us the airwaves to do this. And thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves. Official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. This has been the Unused Substitutes, and we are done. Do it, Dan.
Don't break legs and stay away from cocaine.
There you go. The Rodgers was here, the Rodgers was there, they kicked the ball around.